Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 27 November, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Caught you. You see, I've gone over many times with my deacons, never assume anything. And you know the word assume. Three parts. S, you, me. Whenever you assume, you make an S out of you and me. See? So don't assume. We're going to start at John chapter 8. Also, we're not going to see Debbie in here for a while. It's a trial separation. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. No, she is now working with the kids every night on the Christmas play. Every year it's better and better and better every year, but they're working on it from now on. And we're going to divide it two different Sundays. December 17th and December 24th. Now the kids are going to have theirs Christmas play on the 24th. We were going to have Randy and Doty and Deb and I, before Randy had this, he's really got some major medical issues here. Before he had it, they had us over to their house and showed what they had set up and developed, and it's absolutely spectacular. But Randy has medical issues on the 24th, and he won't be able to be here. He is hoping he will be here on the 17th. And I will tell you right now, if there are any people you would like to hear what Christmas is truly all about, Jesus Christ, and hear the gospel, then you would invite those people on December 17th. Randy's going to try to be here. Doty is going to try to be here as well. And put this on. It is a Christmas spectacular. And that will be on December 17th, and then on December 24th, the little people will put on the Christmas play, and that is spectacular in a different way. Pray for the little people putting on the play, because we never know what's going to come out of their mouth. Out of the mouth of babes. So, and pray for Randy. Randy and Doty, those are two of the best of the best. And he's got some major hurdles he's running right now. And so, but this Christmas play that they've developed, their production, is absolutely spectacular. That'll be on the 17th. The little people put on their play on the 24th, and they never tell me what is going to be in the Little People's Christmas Play. They want to surprise me. But I know this, it gets better every year. So if there's people you want to bring, and kids with families and that, to hear the grace gospel, one thing that is absolutely for certain in the little people's Christmas play, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be presented clearly and accurately. And in the production that Randy and Dodie have worked up, the grace gospel will be given clearly and accurately. So there's a couple of weekends to bring unbelieving friends, unbeliever family, to come and see what Christmas is truly all about. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he says of these religious leaders, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So who is the current ruler of planet Earth? Satan. The ruler of planet Earth is a liar, and there is no truth in him. And what you have presented throughout in America, and what you have presented in media around the world, are lies, 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 lies. Almost no truth. And I wanted to use that passage for what I'm going to be reading about Hal Lindsey. The article is entitled "Lies, Lies About the Land." And the land is Israel. And all we're getting is lies about the land, Israel. Across the Middle East, children are taught to call the founding of Israel on May 15, 1948, Nakba, or catastrophe. Their teachers depict Jews as violent usurpers of the land. But today, in the United States and other Western nations, educators are using those same lies on our children. Now, the lies that generate hate in the Middle East are generating the same kind of hate right here in America, and it's in our schools, and it's being taught to your children. Al Jazeera is a Qatar-based global anti-Semitic and anti-American news conglomerate. And it says, quote, "Every year on May 15th, Palestinians around the world mark the Nakba catastrophe, referring to the ethnic cleansing of Palestine in 1948. Zionist military forces expelled over 750,000 Palestinians from their homes and lands," unquote. Everything there was a lie. Totally a lie. Dictionary.com defines ethnic cleansing as the elimination of an unwanted ethnic group. Well, today, there are over 3 million Palestinians living in Judea and Samaria. And there are 2 million Palestinians living in Gaza. And there are another 2 million Palestinians living in Israel proper. There was clearly never, never, never an ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Lies, 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 lies. Al Jazeera also says, quote, "Zionist military forces expelled at least 750,000 Palestinians from their homes and lands." Lies, lies, lies. That accusation is then repeated. It's repeated often by the United Nations. And there's another organization, evil, totally evil, the United Nations. And what they perpetrate are lies, lies, lies. Just like Al Jazeera. That accusation is repeated often even by the United Nations. In an article called "The Question of Palestine," the United Nations affirms that the birth of modern Israel was a catastrophe. Before the Nakba, the UN article contends Palestine was a multi-ethnic and multicultural society. In other words, they were just one big happy family until the formation of Israel. Lies, lies, lies. The UN article says that in 1947, Jewish militias launched attacks against Palestinian villages, forcing thousands to flee. The situation escalated into a full-blown war in 1948. With the end of the British mandate and the departure of British forces, the declaration of independence of the State of Israel, and the entry of neighboring Arab armies, the newly established Israeli forces launched a major offensive. The result of the war was the permanent displacement of more than half of the Palestinian population, unquote. This is the United Nations. Notice the propagandistic wording. pretending that Jewish aggressors launched attacks against Palestinian villages. The word villages carries the connotations of peaceful, benign, defenseless, but obvious Arab aggression is either not mentioned at all or heavily downplayed. They list the entry of neighboring Arab armies as one of many reasons war broke out in 1948. But that invasion triggered the war. The invasion of the Arab armies triggered the war. When Arab armies invaded Israel, Israel fought back. That's the truth. You don't hear the truth. You get lies, lies, lies. The war displaced many Palestinians, but not because Israel kicked them out. Israel didn't kick them out. Arab leaders removed them. The Arab leaders removed them, promising that after they left, they could return shortly and share in the plunder after Israel's destruction. It was the Arab leaders who took them out. Come on out, we'll destroy them, and then you can go back and enjoy the plunder. This historical fact was recently admitted by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Speaking for the Palestinians, Abbas said, quote, if you remember that in 1948 when the Nakba, the catastrophe, took place, we weren't a party to it. We were taken out. And we were told after a week, in 1 week, we will return you. Obviously, Israel did not say that to the Palestinians. It was the Arabs. Abbas said the same thing in a Palestinian publication back in 1976. He blamed Arab armies for forcing Palestinians to leave, promising they could shortly return. Today, major publications treat United Nations propaganda as authoritative. But the United Nations lies, 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 is evil, evil, evil to the core. And the United Nations does so all the time, especially regarding anything that has to do with the nation of Israel. But it's not surprising. The ruler of this world is the liar. There's no truth in him, and the father of all lies. He's ruling planet Earth. And right now he is in high gear. And he is preparing the world for his man. He has his man, the Antichrist, and a one world government. And we're all buying in to needing a one world government so that, we're destroying planet Earth. Climate change. Fossil fuels. We're destroying the planet. But the Antichrist will say, I will save the planet. And people will give up their freedoms. Give up their freedoms for slavery to the Antichrist and a one world government. It's just around the corner. The tribulation isn't here, but it's just around the corner. That's why we are studying. I love studying. I always have stick in a book in the Old Testament scriptures. There's a lot of local churches, they don't do that at all. Even so-called doctrinal churches will not go and teach the Old Testament scriptures. I stay in a book in the Old Testament, always have since I've been here, and will till the Lord says, get up here, Pastor Olson. And when he says, get up here, Pastor Olson, I'm not going to argue with him. I am looking forward to getting up here. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to all of great, great members of Upland Bible Church who are there. They can show me around when I get there. David Abbott is up there. And I know the Lord, when he has a party up there, he has Dave Abbott come over and tell jokes. He told the best jokes ever. So, I'm not suicidal. And as long as the Lord wants me here, I'm here for one reason, that's to feed His sheep. But I'm going to give you the truth, because there is no truth out there. There's no truth. All we get is lies, 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 lies. But the living and true God is a God of absolute truth. And the Word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. But there are Christians that don't even want to know absolute truth. Not even interested in Bible doctrine. Not even interested in God or the Word of God. Everything else is more important. And the pivot is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And the believers in this country are heading south. And this nation is heading south under the fifth cycle of national discipline. And it can happen any of 100 different ways. The only hope is for a spiritual revival. And that's what Joel is about in the section we're in. Spiritual revival. We just finished Joel 2 verse 20, which looks at the Great Tribulation and looks at one of the greatest military forces of all time in human history, the King of the North and the Great Northern Army with its coalition. And we saw that in verse 20, Joel 2 verse 20, which says, but I, the Lord, will cause the invasion from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you, and I will cause it, the northern army, to be driven into a dry and desolate land. And I will cause his battle front to be driven into the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and his rear elements into the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and his stench, the stench of rotting corpses, will keep on going up, and his foul smell will keep on rising, because he has manufactured great things, war and destruction against Israel. And he's manufactured these things out of arrogance and evil, rebellion against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we studied, Joel 2, verse 20, the last verse we've exegeted. And now, in Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 27, we look ahead to after the Great Tribulation. We look ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ's return and the establishment of the millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. And that's what we now see the foretaste of the blessings of the millennial kingdom in Joel 2:21-27. But first of all, let's look back in review and see what has happened in Joel's day. In Joel's day, in Judah, the southern kingdom, the client nation to God in Joel's day. In Joel 2:15-17, Joel commanded a call for national repentance and a sacred assembly. And this is the only hope for the United States of America today. In Joel 2:15, Joel gave three commands. Sound the shofar, the ram's horn, set apart a holy fast, intensified worship of the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Call a sacred assembly, because a spiritual problem demands a spiritual solution. Repentance, change of mind. For the unbeliever to consider the claims of Jesus Christ and place their faith in Him. For the believer, rebound, followed by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Now, the three commands of verse 15 are followed by four commands of verse 16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, repentance and worship, assemble the elders and gather the children. The crisis in Joel's day was so serious that those who would normally be exempt from worship because of age or recent marriage were required to assemble in this holy convocation for prayer and for worship. And then in Joel 2:17, a command, keep on praying for your nation. And what are they, how are they praying for their nation? Father, may you look upon your people with compassion. Father, may you deliver us from the fifth cycle of national discipline. That's the phrase, do not make your inheritance, Israel, become an object of reproach, the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. The result of this was that Judah repented. Unbelievers changed their thinking and believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Believers rebounded and grew up in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God heard their prayer for compassion, and therefore He removed the curse and brought healing to the land of Israel. So Joel now calls upon the land, verse 21, the animals, verse 22, and the people, verse 23, to replace their mental attitude sin of fear with happiness and rejoicing. Comparing this section we're going to study, Joel 2:21-27, with the prophecies that we studied in chapters 1 and the first half of chapter 2, a number of contrasts can be seen. Let's notice those. One, the destroyed land, chapter 1:17-22, will break forth in gladness and joy. That's chapter 2:21. When the new life springs forth because of the early and late rains, that's chapter 2:23. So the devastated, destroyed land in chapter 1:17-20 will break forth in gladness and joy, verse 21, When new life springs forth because of the early and the late rains, verse 23. 2, the animals will not be afraid for their survival because the barren pastures of chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 will spring forth in greenery, verse 22. Chapter 2, verse 22. So the animals will not be afraid for their survival because the barren pastures of chapter 1, 19 and 20 will spring forth in greenery, chapter 2, verse 22. With withered trees and vines will produce an abundance of fruit, chapter 2, verse 22. 3. Man who is called to weep and wail and lament and be ashamed will be glad and rejoice, verse 23, over the lifting of the curse and the renewal of the land. Man who is called to weep and wail and lament and be ashamed will be glad and rejoice, verse 23, over the lifting of the curse and the renewal of the land. 4, this is a foretaste of what Israel will experience during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he returns at the second advent. This is the foretaste of what Israel will experience during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. 5. So in Joel 2:21-27, we have a foretaste of the blessings of the millennial kingdom. Joel 2:21-27. Foretaste of the blessings of the millennial kingdom. All right. Verse 21. The land, and the land is Israel, will be blessed in the millennium. It starts out and says, "Fear not, O land," in the King James Version. This is the subjective negative al, joined by a makef to the cal imperfect of the verb yare, plus the feminine singular of the noun avama, the subjective negative al. Aleph A-L. Subjective negative al is used to express a prohibition. It's going to be used a couple of times this way in our passage. And then we have avama. Aleph A-D-A-M-A-H. Adama is where we also get the noun Adam. Adam comes from Adama. 1, Adama means ground or land. It was Adam's name because his body was made from dirt. So that's not very exciting. You name your son Adam, you're naming him dirt. Adama means ground or land. 2, the emphasis is on the fact that it is the cultivated ground that yields crops for food. The emphasis is on the fact that it is the cultivated ground that yields crops for food. 3, in an agricultural economy, the adama is the key to economic prosperity. Or, the adama is the basis of economic disaster. In our passage, we now have economic prosperity. So in an agricultural economy, The Atma is the key to economic prosperity or economic disaster. Four, in our verse, the land is personified, and therefore it's given a prohibition. And then we have the verb yare. Y-A-R-E, Aleph. For those of you who are faithful and consistent, been here again and again and again, you have learned about yare. It has a negative use. As a negative use, it refers to the mental attitude sin of fear. But it also has a positive use. And there's two positive uses. The first is humility. To fear the Lord is to respect the Lord. Humility, respect for God, the Word of God, and the communicator of it. Fear in a positive way of humility. But the second thing, use of it, is occupation with Jesus Christ. To fear the Lord, the phrase to fear the Lord, is occupation with Jesus Christ. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's the positive use. But we don't have it used here in the positive use. We have it used in the negative use. And the prohibition is, don't have the mental attitude sin of fear. That's the prohibition. So yare, a couple of things. One, yare means to fear. Literally, it just means to fear or to be afraid, but in the negative sense, it refers to the mental attitude sin of fear. In the positive sense, it can refer to either humility or occupation with Jesus Christ. Two, the mental attitude sin of fear is associated with judgment. 1 John 4:18, and we'll go over there in a moment, but not right now. 1 John 4:18, just put it down, we'll get over there. The mental attitude sin of fear is associated with judgment. Three, when client nation Judah was being judged, the five cycles of national discipline, the land was afraid. When client nation Judah was being judged, the five cycles of national discipline, the land was afraid. Four, but now that Judah has repented, the people, unbelievers, have turned to Jesus Christ for salvation. Believers have repented. They've turned back to God and the Word of God. But now that Judah has repented, now that Judah has turned back to God and His Word, the Lord is going to restore blessing to Judah. Now that Judah has repented and turned back to God and His Word, the Lord is going to restore blessing to Judah. And this is the key to America. We're still here, so there's hope. We're here today, we might not be here tomorrow, but we're here today, so there's hope. But the key is to turn back to the living and true God. Turn back to God and His Word. And I just don't see it, frankly. I don't see believers today where the Word of God is more important than the air that they breathe. I don't see it. I don't see it. Even people that have been in here or show up here on Sunday once in a while. Easter and Christmas. I don't see in this country that believers, the Word of God is more important than the air that they breathe. Everything else is more important. Everything else is more important than what they do. Their priorities suck. God is at the bottom and everything else is above it. Bible doctrine doesn't mean a thing to most believers. Five. So fear is turned to happiness, and cursing is turned to blessing. So fear is turned to happiness, and cursing is turned to blessing. Six, Israel under the judgment of God in the tribulation will be characterized by great fear. Mental attitude, sin, fear. Israel under the judgment of God in the tribulation will be characterized by great fear. Seven. But the second advent of Christ and the establishment of His kingdom on planet Earth will turn fear into rejoicing and happiness. But the second advent of Christ and the establishment of His kingdom on planet Earth will turn fear into rejoicing and happiness. Eight, by application, there is no fear in virtue love. And what is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life? The ultimate objective is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's why you're here. That's why God has given us this unique spiritual life and the supernatural power, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to live it. So that we might have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. That we might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. So by application, there's no fear in virtue love. Virtue love casts out all fear. Now turn to 1 John chapter 4. Now turn to 1 John 4. And normally it's our Thursday night class. This week we have a new dispensation. The Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday dispensation. This week it'll be on Wednesday. But we're getting close to verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in virtue love. There's no mental attitude sin of fear in virtue love. But virtue love casts out fear, all fear, because fear, the mental attitude sin of fear, involves punishment, self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. And the one who fears is not, I repeat, is not perfected in virtue love. Does not have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Now we are after salvation, what? God's given us something that no other believers in any other dispensation ever had, a unique spiritual life. He has given us the universal indwelling of the Spirit. Never happened before in human history. The supernatural power to live this unique spiritual life. And therefore, the reason why is so that you might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You might have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue and occupation with Jesus Christ, and the other side of the coin of that, sharing the happiness of God. So by application, there's no fear in virtue love. Virtue love casts out all fear. Nine, the spiritual life of the church age is not a life of fear. The spiritual life of the church age is not a life of fear. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. First Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a life of fear, but of power. The power of the Spirit of God, and love, virtue love, and a stabilized mind. What is a stabilized mind? It means you're totally free from all worry, totally free from all fear. That's the spiritual life God has given us. 2 Timothy 1:7. Fear describes the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, a trap. What is that snare and trap? The cosmic system, Satan's cosmic system. So fear describes the believer living entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. Virtue love describes the believer living the spiritual life. 10. The reversionist is characterized by fear. The reversionist is characterized by fear. Turn over to Proverbs 1. The reversionist is characterized by fear. Proverbs chapter 1, let's start at verse 24. Verse 24, because I called, but you refused. This is the Lord, I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel, and you did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes like a storm, and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Why? Because they hated Bible doctrine and did not choose the fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive, a better word there is stupid, shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me will live securely and will be at ease from the fear of evil. Turn over to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, verse 24. What the reversionist fears, you might have wicked, but That's a reversionist. What the reversionist fears will come upon him. So the reversionist is characterized by fear. Point 11. And therefore the mandate from God to all of us is not to fear. Therefore the mandate to all of us is not to fear. Turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, verse 13. Now the Moses, I tell you, that guy, he had to be absolutely the greatest believer of all time in the Old Testament because he had 2 million reversionists. He had to get from Egypt down to the Promised Land. 2 million reversionists. Oh, there was a couple, I know. I think we can get maybe 3 or 4. Joshua made it. Caleb. But otherwise, 2 million reversionists. And what are they doing? They follow Moses, and then here comes the Pharaoh with all of his army, and they're stuck at the Red Sea, and what do they start? They start bawling. They're all crying and bawling. And they're afraid. So Moses said, verse 13, shut up. No, that's my translation of it. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring for you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That means shut up. Get out of the mental attitude, sin of fear. Turn over to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, starting at verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. Who gave this land to the Jewish people? The Lord did. It belongs to the Jews, and the Lord gave it to them. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Turn over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua 8 verse 1. Now when Moses was leading the people, there were a couple heroes there. Joshua was one of them. Caleb was one of them. Joshua 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." Turn over to 1 Chronicles 28. Now David is teaching his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. David also said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is completed." And then turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. "So, do not fear, for I," that's the living and true God, "I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41, verse 10. 12. The winner believer is characterized by courage and lack of fear. The winner believer is characterized by courage and lack of the mental attitude of sin of fear. Turn over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verse 3. "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." There's the faith rest life as a problem-solving device. "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" And then verse 11. "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And then turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" So the winner believer is characterized by courage and lack of fear. 13. This is true of the winner believer no matter what his situation is, no matter what his circumstance is, no matter what situation he finds himself in, even in the middle of a great war and battle. And that's in Psalm 27. Turn over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And this is the human author is David, the greatest soldier ever in the Israeli military was David. And he was not only the greatest soldier ever in Israel's history, he was the greatest king ever. He was a winner believer, a spiritually mature believer. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. So this is true of the winner believer, even in the middle of the greatest adversity, such as war and battle. Psalm 27, 1 to 3. So our verse starts out, do not fear, O land. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.